L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying...
A podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season... We're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network.
Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How is it already time for the fantasy playoffs? Let's talk to the pros. Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Wormley, joined as I am every Friday morning by Derek Brown and a guest. D-Bro, just quickly, fantasy playoffs, how are you feeling about your teams going in? Are you excited? Did you make the playoffs in a lot of leagues? What's your sort of fantasy like landscape for you right now?
Doing good, Ryan. Got a lot of teams into the playoffs. Some of them are battered and bruised, rolling out possibly the Pierre Strongs of the world and things like that. Other dynasty squads are in full tank mode. So you know how it goes, man. We're all in the newbies dynasty league from the company, and we're all trying our own different ways to get that first overall pick. Although I think you're outpacing me for that.
I believe I have clinched the number one pick in that. And I also have your first round pick, which is, I believe, fourth overall. Okay. So I've got 1-4. I'm pretty happy about that.
Just rub it in.
We're burying the lead, though. Our guest today is Mason Dodd, Fantasy Flock Network. Mason, thank you so much for coming on. How did your fantasy regular season treat you?
Unbelievable. I mean, my most drafted player was Josh Jacobs, so life's pretty good. But I feel like this is the first week where things, I don't want to say actually matter, but when you I drafted over 700 teams this year. So like, it's hard to sweat things during the regular season, but now's when you can sit down and go, okay, these are the matchups that I'm looking at. And this is what I'm very excited about.
I did not draft 700 teams. I drafted about a dozen, but in zero of those 12 did I get Josh Jacobs. I have him nowhere. He's probably my least rostered player in football. So
same.
That's been really painful to watch this season. Let's make sure everybody can find the three of us online. D-Bro's Twitter handle is at D-Bro_FFB. Mason is at Mason Dodd FFN. I can be found at Ryan Wormley. And of course, we can be found everywhere online at Fantasy Pros. No more buys. We have 15 matchups to get through. Fantasy playoffs are here. We will jump right into it.
Matchup previews.
We have Saturday games this week. Game number one on the Saturday slate is Colts at Vikings. Mason, you're our guest, so I'll start with you. What's your key matchup in this one?
Main thing I want to be looking at is Dalvin Cook. So Dalvin Cook, if you look over the past month, has had a brutal stretch of games, like going up against teams like the New England Patriots, going up against, a pseudo-okay Detroit Lions run defense. Like, Dalvin Cook has had a very difficult time, but if we look at this matchup against the Indianapolis Colts, actually should be a significantly better spot. Like, if I head over to the site called Fantasy Pros, not sure if y'all have heard of it, but it's pretty interesting. They have a little page where you can go through and see teams and how they score against each position. And the Colts aren't great against the run. So I think Dalvin Cook, he's been getting the volume over the past month. The issue has been the matchups and the efficiency behind it. And using this little tool on Fantasy Pros tells me that this should actually be probably a better spot than we're used to.
Already a Hall of Fame guest plugging our own tools for us in the very first matchup. So appreciated. Cook is a guy that obviously like first rounder. If you're in the fantasy playoffs, like it's not like you would ever consider not starting him or anything. Hopefully he can have a big game here. D-Bro, what's your key matchup in this one?
I mean, look, Mason's talking about the Colts run funnel. I'm going to talk about the Vikings pass funnel. So, look, if you're desperate for quarterbacks, you could look to Matt Ryan. You could look to these pass catchers. I know it's been rough. I know Matt Ryan does not want to throw down the field, but that actually helps him in this matchup. You're looking at a Vikings secondary that's 29th in DVOA against short passing. They allow in the third most yak. So all this means is that Matt Ryan wants to check it down. He wants to throw short. It's going to be a good day for his wide receivers, especially like Paris Campbell, Michael Pittman. These are wide receivers that I think you can lean on this week. So Matt Ryan, while it sounds kind of crazy, but I think that he's kind of a dark horse QB1 for this week.
Yeah, so I was curious, D-Bro, when in the notes you just put Colts passing attack, is there one of those receivers that sort of stands out most to you? Is it Pittman? Is it Campbell? Is it Alec Pierce? I mean, who would be the guy if you can only... I mean, Pittman's clearly like the most talented guy, but does he have the best matchup against this pass defense?
No, for me, I gravitate to Paris Campbell. Chandon Sullivan has been quite terrible in the slot. Paris Campbell is garnering a 20% target share over the last few weeks with Matt Ryan under center. We've seen him walk into wide receiver one production, and quietly, he's actually had more of the red zone role in this passing attack than even Michael Pittman. So if I got to pick one of these Colts guys, like, if you're not going to find Pittman on the waiver wire anywhere, but you might find Paris Campbell somewhere. If that's the case, he's a plug and play wide receiver three if you're in leagues that start three wide receivers, or a strong flex play.
Before we get to the rest of the Saturday slate, let me tell everybody about their chance to win a free signed Christian Watson jersey. No, D-Bro, you are not eligible, but it is super easy to win. Just leave a review for our podcast and or subscribe to all of our social media channels. The more actions you complete, the more entries you receive. Then just fill out a brief form at fantasypros.com/contest and boom, you're entered to win. The contest wraps up at the end of the month, so make sure you leave a review and follow us on social media as soon as possible. Again, details are at fantasypros.com/contest. Head there now to try to win a free signed Christian Watson jersey. Best of luck to you. Game number two, Ravens at Browns. Mason, I'll start with you again. What's the key matchup here?
Yeah, I'm looking at Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper is another one of these players that's had a tough run over the past month or so. But I mean, if you're looking at the home away splits for Amari, usually I think this is small sample noise, something we shouldn't really be paying attention to. But it's drastic. Like, Amari Cooper is a completely different player when he's playing in Cleveland and going up against the Baltimore Ravens here. They've allowed the seventh most points to opposing wide receivers this season. So we're getting Amari at home. Good matchup against Baltimore. The Browns are favored by about 3.5 points. Even if Watson hasn't looked great as of late, I am pretty excited about Amari Cooper in a bounce back spot.
Yeah, that Ravens secondary is interesting because Marcus Peters hasn't really played that well this season. Marlon Humphrey has been superb, but he actually didn't play that well just last week against the Steelers. George Pickens kind of mossed him a couple of times. If Humphrey ends up being the guy who's matched up on Amari for most of this game, does that scare you off at all?
Not at all.
Not at all. D-Bro, what are you looking at here?
Oh, Ryan, you're being very kind to Marcus Peters. He's been terrible this year. But, you know, from a Ravens homer, I expect nothing
less. Yeah, I can't be too mean.
No, you can't be too mean. But you know what? I'm going to make your Ravens heart a little bit happy here. J.K. Dobbins being back in this offense, I think, is going to fuel the Ravens rushing attack and their offense this week. The Ravens have shown no issues throwing running backs right back into the fire. We saw it with Gus Edwards, and we saw it with J.K. Dobbins last week. 15 carries. He ran the most routes out of this backfield, got two red zone opportunities. And we know that you can run on the Cleveland Browns. So he's going to be the engine for the offense. I won't be surprised if they push it up to 20 carries this week against a Browns rush defense that's 27th in rushing success rate, 23rd in rushing yards per game, and 28th in explosive run rate. So while Dobbins had a good day versus a strong Steelers run defense, he's going to crush the Browns this week.
Yeah, the thing that was so interesting about their performance against the Steelers was the Steelers knew they were running. Once Tyler Huntley went out, especially, like, they knew the run was coming, and they couldn't stop it. It was just the Ravens sort of big-boying them. How much does the quarterback position matter in your eyes? Because, Lamar, I don't know if he's been officially ruled out, but he's not going to play.
He's not going to play.
Huntley, I think, will play based on what we know as of right now. But how much does that matter for you in attacking this, you know, rushing attack, whether it's Dobbins, whether it's Gus Edwards as, you know, a low end flex? Does whether or not it's Tyler Huntley or Anthony Brown matter to you, D-Bro?
It does matter in the sense that you have a little bit, and not a ton, but a little bit of trepidation if Anthony Brown was under center. I mean, the guy looked good in the preseason, but it's the preseason. I think with Tyler Huntley, not only, And Anthony Brown could run a little bit. We didn't see much of that in the preseason, but I would feel much better about Tyler Huntley because we've seen him in this offense. The Ravens are going to throw. You have the threat of the passing attack with him under center. Whereas if it was Anthony Brown, do the Browns just say, look, we're going to stack the box and force you to beat us through the air? I think that there's more respect for the passing attack with Huntley under center. And I'm with you, Ryan. Like, I project that Lamar is going to be out, and I project that Huntley, as of right now we're recording this, is going to play this week.
Really quickly, just because you didn't pick him, but I want to ask, because I got a lot of questions about this earlier in the week. Mark Andrews has not been Mark Andrews lately, and we actually weren't really worried about Tyler Huntley at quarterback with him because Huntley loves to throw to tight ends, and obviously Mark Andrews is one of the best. He had 3 fantasy points last week, 7 the week before, 9, 9, 5, and 0. He hasn't been a top 10 tight end. Well, I guess one of those weeks he technically was because the tight end position is awful, but he hasn't gotten double-digit scoring in half PPR since week 6. How concerned are you about him? Just very quickly.
Not. You play Mark Andrews. This is not the time of the year where you get cute with it. Like, I'm not starting some streamer, Robert Tonyan or Tyler Conklin or whoever, you know, the flavor du jour this week. Play Mark Andrews. It's easy. Just do it.
The player of the day this week is player du jour this week. So just to clarify for all the French speakers out there, Saturday night game, Dolphins at Bills. Mason, what's the matchup here?
This one isn't great. Like, I'm not trying to sit here and tell you, okay, fire up Jalen Waddle. This is going to be a must start wide receiver, must start. The Buffalo Bills defense is good. I know you're about to talk about Tua Tagovailoa, but this is a Bills defense that right now is favored by about 7.5 points over Miami in Buffalo. I know Waddle's been very bad over the past 2 weeks, but if we go through and look at the game log with Jalen Waddle, in full transparency, my most drafted wide receiver this season, so I kind of want to just come out here and pump my bags real quick. Jalen Waddle, this past week, I don't have an excuse. Prime time, Tua looked horrendous. He only had 31 receiving yards off of 4 targets. The week prior, he goes down early against the 49ers. But outside of the game where Jalen Waddle leaves early with an injury, in a game where Tua Tagovailoa leaves early and doesn't play, Waddle's been a wide receiver that's been consistently a borderline top 5 option if we remove those past 3 weeks. I'm sorry, those 3 weeks in general. I don't know. I just wanted to include him on this video because I've had a million questions about Jalen Waddle, asking if he is someone we can start in a tough matchup. And the Bills have allowed fewer fantasy points to the quarterback position than wide receiver so far this season. Like, if you're going through and looking at this, they're the 27th team in fantasy points allowed to quarterback, whereas with wide receiver, they're sitting down there at 12, more so middle of the road. So I still think Waddle's a play, even though he's been very disappointing and it's a tough matchup.
I believe I saw earlier this week that there's some talk about maybe a lot of snow for this game in Buffalo on Saturday night. Do you think that would change how the Dolphins, you know, call their offense in this game?
Definitely. But I think if you're going to be looking at Las Vegas sportsbook lines, Las Vegas sportsbook already know this. They already have that priced in, if that makes sense. So if I'm going to make a decision based off weather, that's going to be a Sunday morning decision. Because I'm more so looking at implied team totals. I'm going to be looking at what Las Vegas sportsbooks are telling us with that projection. Because if you try to go off a weather report on Monday, this is what I always say. Think about your own local weather report. How often is your local weatherman right if he's trying to tell you what the weekend weather is going to be on a Monday? Because if I go to Google right now and I pull up what the weather is supposed to be, it's not supposed to snow on Sunday. It's supposed to be nice, you know? So I think we just have to wait until the morning of the game and then decide there.
Yeah, not to knock the profession of meteorologists, but not often correct. Devro, what's your key matchup here?
It's funny because a lot of people try to draw parallels between fantasy analysis and telling the weather. And I don't know, I can make a really good case that we're actually better than the meteorologists. But anyway, I digress. I'll keep moving. With the other side of the ball here, I think if you are, and now I kind of poo-poo the tight end streamers of the week. I think if we are going to look to this game and you are searching for a tight end that can finish inside the top 12, I'm going with Dawson Knox here. I think he is going to be pivotal because the Miami Dolphins secondary has been playing much better over the last few weeks. Now, in this game, Xavier Howard is probably going to follow Stephon Diggs. So Josh Allen, who has been struggling over the last few games, is going to have to look to his other options in this passing attack. And I think one of those that he's going to lean heavily on is Dawson Knox. You look at Knox and his full season numbers are not spectacular. I'm not telling you this guy has just been crushing teams, but he's got a 12% target share since week 6. Miami 29th in DVOA versus tight ends. They're allowing the sixth highest catch rate, seventh most receiving yards per game, and the fifth most fantasy points per game to tight ends. So Dawson Knox is going to be inside my top 12 for the week.
Man, it really is rivalry week. Come, we have Ravens, Browns, Dolphins, Bills, Falcons, Saints, fantasy analysts versus meteorologists, apparently. That's it for the Saturday slate. Let's get to Sunday early afternoon. Let's get into Falcons at Saints. Mason, I'll start with you again.
I know we're just talking about some players that you need to have in your starting lineup, but I want to go through and look at Alvin Kamara here. This is another player. I've had a lot of questions on should I bench him, and I completely understand why. If you look at Kamara over the past 2 weeks, I mean, the man literally 26 rushing yards, 13 rushing yards, hasn't had a game with 50 rushing yards since Halloween, hasn't had a game with more than 90 total yards since Halloween. Like, Kamara hasn't been great, but if you're looking at the matchups, hell, he had to go up against Baltimore, Pittsburgh, San Francisco, Tampa. Now he gets to play the Atlanta Falcons. Great matchup. You have Mark Ingram going down as well. So if you remove Mark Ingram from this offense and all of a sudden get rid of this tough stretch of games where, I mean, right now, if we're going to be looking at the line on this contest, the Saints are favored by 4 points. I think that Alvin Kamara is another one of these guys. Don't overthink it. Start your studs. I think, honestly, he's a top 10 running back this week, despite barely being a borderline top 24 guy over the past month.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of questions on him as well. And It's not just this week. Next week, he goes up against the terrible Browns rushing defense. So there could be a lot of teams in the fantasy championship because of Alvin Kamara in weeks 15 and 16. I'm fully with you there. Debra, what are you looking at in this one?
On the other side of the ball, we get Desmond Ridder making his first start. And we know that the Falcons want to run the ball, but the Saints run defense, while it hasn't been fantastic this year, this is an easy spot for them to just load the box and say, look, if you're going to beat us, you're going to have to be able to throw the ball. And I've got my concerns about Desmond Ridder. I think that him being able to look like a serviceable and competent quarterback in his first NFL start is going to be pivotal for the Falcons moving the ball this week. Desmond Ridder was not good in the preseason, 31st in PFF passing grade, 13th in yards per attempt, but he was outside of the top 50 in adjusted completion rate. And the Saints defense, while they're not pressuring the quarterback a ton, they have been shutting down opposing passing attacks since week 10, 8th in success rate per dropback and 3rd in explosive pass rate allowed. So Desmond Ridder and his ability to get the ball to Drake London, to move the ball through the air, I think is going to be a really big focal point for the Falcons offense. And if he can't do that, the Saints might just shut him down.
Drake London has not been a top 20 wide receiver since week 2. That's the only week of the season he's been in the top 20. More often than not, he hasn't even been in like the top 40. How much did you move him up your rest of season rankings with the news that Desmond Ridder was taking over?
None.
Or did you move? Okay, so you didn't move him at all.
I think it's a push, honestly. I mean, I don't look at Desmond Ridder being that much better of a quarterback, if at all, over Marcus Mariota. And this is not me just trying to throw pile on top of Desmond Ridder, but everybody's like, well, they could pass more. And I'm like, you're assuming a lot of things with that. One, Arthur Smith is going to call pass plays. Two, that Desmond Ridder, a rookie, is going to be entrusted to throw the ball more. I mean, Arthur Smith didn't even trust a veteran, although he wasn't great, to throw the ball a ton. Why are we so sure that they're going to allow Desmond Ridder to do that?
Before we move on with the show, let's take a moment to talk about Manscaped. It's never too early to play holiday music, and it's never too early to start thinking about gifts. Whether it's for a friend or the friend in your pants, you can make this a season to be jolly with Manscaped. Do your little drummer boy a favor and use the Lawnmower 4.0 to avoid another silent night in the bedroom. Then add in Manscaped's top-of-the-line shower products to have the people thinking, all I want for Christmas is you. Santa cares about his sack, and so should you. Look nice when you get naughty by going to manscaped.com and use code JOEYP for free shipping and 20% off. When you have to deal with all your crazy relatives during the holidays, the best way to get through the mayhem is to feel confidence. Well, that and comfort. And Manscaped gives you that confidence and comfort by looking and feeling good in all your most important areas. The Manscaped Platinum Package 4.0 is the one-stop shop for the man who deserves it all. It has everything needed to help you deck the halls from face to balls just in time for mistletoe season. The Lawnmower 4.0 body trimmer and the Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer feature proprietary advanced skin-safe technology to protect your delicate presence. Plus, both are waterproof, so there's no issue clearing out the snow from your driveway. Oh, and there's also a 4000K LED light on it, so you can light the way like Rudolph. The Platinum Package 4.0, sitting under the tree, is guaranteed to put anyone in the holiday spirit. And for the perfect stocking stuffer, add in the brand new Body Buffer, an incredible body scrubber that makes exfoliating easy and a lot cleaner than that old loofah. So remember, get 20% off and free shipping with code JOEYP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code JOEYP. Manscaped. Get your jingle balls ready for the holidays. Let's get into our next game, which is also our first pick in the over-under challenge. The over-under game is sponsored by No House Advantage, who are giving away $10,000 in weekly and season-long prizes, including a grand prize of $3,000. Check them out today at nohouseadvantage.com or download the app on the app stores. Use promo code PROS at sign up for a first deposit match up to $50. Our first over-under challenge of the day is Deontay Johnson, over or under 9.5 fantasy points against the Panthers. So be on the lookout for that as D-Bro shares his pick for Johnson and also some of his other favorite over-unders from this week's challenge throughout the show, which listeners can find at fantasypros.com/challenge. But for now, let's turn to D-Bro for his key matchup in Steelers-Panthers.
There's no way that I can chase an over for anything related to Deontay Johnson. I'm just going to put that out there into the space to kick this off here.
I'm just going to interrupt you to say I fully agree. This is an easy under.
Easy under. I talked about him on the Start Sit show, and I was like, you can't start him. He's been fed the most volume out of basically any wide receiver in the NFL and done the least with it the entire year. So if he blows up at this spot, I'll eat my words, but it'll be the first blow-up game of the entire season. But with the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think we're going to look at a game where they're going to lean on Najee Harris against the Panthers' run defense, which since week 10, 13th in rushing success rate, 11th in rushing yards per game. But Najee, although this is an improving run defense, Najee's been better ever since they took the plate out of his shoe, and he's been running a lot better down the stretch here. Since week 10, the man has gotten almost 18 touches per game over the last 5 weeks. He is ninth in missed tackles for. So I think that this is a good game, regardless of whoever the quarterback is, because it could be Mason Rudolph, could be Trubisky. We're not sure. Maybe even Pickett comes back for this one. Regardless of whoever's under center, Najee is going to need to get the ball a ton, and I think it happens here.
Mason, what's your key matchup in this game?
This one, I'm not telling you to start DJ Moore. I am very interested in watching him, though, because we've had a couple of weeks with Sam Darnold. Right now, you actually have the Panthers favored in this game. I think that has a lot to do with the Pittsburgh Steelers offense rather than the Carolina Panthers. Mm-hmm. But if we are going to be looking at what we've had back-to-back weeks with DJ Moore, I mean, it's been two completely different stories. This past week, zero receptions, zero receiving yards. Whereas the week prior, goes over 100 receiving yards against the Denver Broncos, has a receiving touchdown as well. It's going to be an interesting matchup against the Pittsburgh Steelers, where they've allowed the fifth most points to opposing wide receivers this season. So if you're playing in a deeper dynasty format, where say it's a 12-team dynasty league where you start 10 or more players, if it's a full PBR league, I actually may put DJ Moore in there just based off the matchup, based off the fact that Vegas is telling us that the Panthers should be able to move the ball down the field. But, I mean, it's not an exciting spot at all. I mean, the man's literally coming off a game with zero receiving yards.
Yeah, I mean, look, just looking at the last five games he's had, this is his wide receiver positional finish. 93, 9, 63, 64, and 50. He's been in the top 50 once in the last 5 weeks. You just can't. I got questions on him, too, earlier this week. And, like, you just can't. I really don't even know what else to say. You just can't. But it will be interesting to see what he does. I agree. I'll be watching him and hoping to see more as a, you know, D-Bro always calls me a big Ravens homer. I'm probably even more of a Terps homer. So I would love to see.
Haven't brought up Terps basketball on this podcast or anything else.
Never. I will certainly not be bringing them up this week because they got shellacked at home on Wednesday night. Let's move on to the next game. Eagles at Bears. Mason, what's your key matchup?
I'm going to be looking at Justin Fields versus this Eagles defense, because with Justin Fields, I mean, the man's been an elite fantasy option. Doesn't matter that the Chicago Bears are dead last in the NFL in passing yards. Just based off of Justin Fields having the most rushing upside among any quarterback in fantasy, like, he has been phenomenal. But at the same time, the Eagles have allowed the second fewest points to opposing quarterbacks this year. So I don't know where we take this with Justin Fields, because if you're starting him, you're never betting on him being a good real-life NFL quarterback. You're not betting on him going out there and throwing for three passing touchdowns. You're betting, can he get to 90 rushing yards and that rushing TD, which I think he still can't against the Philadelphia Eagles. this Eagles team obviously is just dominant top to bottom, though. So it's a very interesting spot where I think you're obviously still starting him in a 4-point passing touchdown league just because very few quarterbacks can have the same ceiling that he does given the rushing upside. Just hate the matchup.
Yeah, I think he's one of the most fascinating quarterbacks like in this entire slate because he has since week six, he has been a top eight quarterback in every week except for the one that he missed with injury. But he has every week he has played, he's been a top eight quarterback. That is absurd consistency. It is an absurdly high ceiling. And of course, as you mentioned, it's based entirely due to his legs. But this is such a good Eagles team and it's such a good Eagles defense. About where would you have him ranked if you had to put a number to it?
I actually just uploaded our quarterback ranking video and I had him at six.
Okay. So still, you know, quite bullish on him, exactly. Even given the matchup. Yeah, I'm really curious to see what he looks like. I don't really care what the offense looks like in that game, but him specifically, I'm really curious to see. D-Bro, what are you looking at in this one?
Well, first of all, I'm hand-holding with Mason here. I've got Fields at QB6, and I've thought about bumping him to QB5. I mean, I think it's a really interesting conversation, him versus Josh Allen, considering how Josh Allen has been lately. Not to sit here and, you know, hate on Josh Allen, but I'm still riding with Fields this week. But looking to the Eagles side, I am pounding the over on the No House Advantage over-under challenge for Miles Sanders. We've seen this time and time again, guys. Good rushing matchup. Miles Sanders gets fed. He crushes in fantasy. The guy is going to be an RB1. He is going to get a lot of volume in this game. Considering the Bears since week 10, 25th in rushing success rate, 25th in EPA per rush, and they are bottom three in explosive run rate allowed. So while Miles Sanders came out before the season and said, don't draft me. I don't know about touchdowns, all those types of things. Miles Sanders has been awesome, and I think he keeps the train rolling this week.
He's only been over 100 rushing yards three times this season, but two of those were in the last 3 weeks against good matchups, and they were both over 140 rushing yards. He was RB3 and RB2 in those games. Do you think he goes over 100 in this one?
Yep. I would project him over at least to hit 90. I think that he does crest the century mark in this one.
Next game up, Chiefs at Texans. D-Bro, I'll start with you here.
Well, it sounds like we have another week of no Brandon Cooks and possibly no Nico Collins. So, Texans have to move the ball somehow, right? If it's not going to be the Rex Burkhead and Dario Ogunbowale show, it's going to be Chris Moore, who blew up last week. I wasn't expecting that. The guy got a 43% target share, 43% of the air yards. And this matchup specifically, I think we could see Chris Moore post another solid game because Kansas City has allowed the 11th most fantasy points to perimeter wide receivers. Chris Moore, 64% of his snaps last week were on the outside. They got to move the ball somehow. If it's not going to be in the rushing attack, if Damian Pierce is out, which I think we're all projecting that, even though he hasn't been ruled out as at the time of recording this, Chris Moore should be the tip of the spear for the Houston Texans this week.
So you think he's, like, for lack of a better word, legit?
I think he's the best of a lot of bad options. I'll put it that way.
He's down in our ECR. Or no, excuse me. I was going to say, the reason I asked is because he was down at 100. I was looking at rest of season, not for this week. I assume he's higher. I'll pull that up quick. Yeah, okay. He's wide receiver 47 in ECR right now for week 15. Still, I would say arguably too low, but not the shocking number I thought I was looking at. Mason, what's your key matchup here?
I actually made a massive mistake in my running back rankings video this week where I did not include Pacheco in the top 24 guys. And honestly, the comment section clowned on me and I was deserving to be clowned on. I mean, with Isaiah Pacheco, great matchup going up against this Houston rush defense. The spread on this game is 14 points. Obviously, we all know the Chiefs are just going to stomp on the Houston Texans. If I go over to that nifty little tool on Fantasy Pros, the Houston Texans have allowed the most points against the running back position so far this year. Isaiah Pacheco, clearly the first and second down guy. So I think Pacheco is in a good spot to be a top 24 running back in a PPR format and in a non-PPR league, obviously he's higher.
Yeah, I know that the Texans kind of kept it closer against the Cowboys when it was like an 18-point spread last week. Yeah. It's a 14-point spread this week. I don't think they'll keep it close against the Chiefs. This is going to be one where the Chiefs are going to be up by 28 points in like halfway through the second quarter. And you're going to see a lot of Pacheco just like the entire second half. So I'm fully with you there. Absolutely needs to be in your top 24 at least. Let's move to our next game, Cowboys at Jaguars. I'll start with you, Mason.
Yeah, this is very similar to the Justin Fields versus Eagles matchup. I'm going to go Evan Engram against the Dallas Cowboys. If you go through, look at this past week, Evan Engram, 15 targets, 11 receptions, 162 receiving yards, 2 receiving touchdowns. I'm sitting here with Mark Andrews on all my teams crying that Andrews can't sniff anything close to this. But this week, you have Evan Engram going up against the toughest defense against all tight ends. If I go over to Fantasy Pros right now, you see the Dallas Cowboys, number one defense against the tight end position so far this season. So just based off the volume Evan Engram's had, based off of, I mean, Evan Engram this past week, I feel like you kind of have to start the guy. But obviously, he's not coming anything close to it. I'm just really excited to see what we have in this matchup.
Yeah, it's so interesting because the blow up in week 14 was so incredible. Like, I don't know how you sit him, but also it's not like that production has been there all year. But he's coming off of a couple of good, he got a touch. He didn't have a good game against the Lions, but he got to score a touchdown at least, which at the tight end position makes you top five, basically. Are there any big names that you would maybe surprisingly start Engram over this week?
So actually, let me pull up my rankings here. I have Evan Engram sitting there ahead of David Njoku, Pat Freiermuth. If those count as big names, we have them directly behind guys like Dallas Goedert. I actually have George Kittle up a little bit just because Deebo Samuel is not out. Yeah,
I think that's notable. And Njoku's 8 in our ECR rankings, and Engram is 10. Freiermuth is 6. So it is notable that you would have him above there. And again, coming off of last week, like, I'm really curious to see what he looks like. Deebo, what are you looking at?
Yeah, in this game, I think like everybody's going to turn their attention to the Dallas Cowboys rushing attack. We know that they're going to be good. They're going to want to run the ball. They've been a run balanced offense since Dak Prescott has been back. But I really want to highlight CeeDee Lamb here. And I know that like that's not breaking anybody's expectations. I know that he's still going to be a top 12, top 15 wide receiver. You're starting him this week. But I think that this is honestly a week where you're looking for high ceiling players, players that could possibly win you the week. CeeDee Lamb has that ability this week. Jacksonville has not been able to guard anybody in the slot. Since week 7, they're allowing the 6th most fantasy points per game to opposing slot wide receivers, and they've changed up their coverage some. Trey Herndon should get the start as the starting slot corner this week. 66% catch rate, 133 passer rating allowed. So CeeDee Lamb should eat his lunch.
Very quickly, Deebo, is this another week where you can happily start both running backs for the Cowboys?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think right now in my rankings, I've got Tony Pollard and Zeke both, and I don't want to lie about this. Yep, both nestled inside my top 15. Zeke, the touchdown train's just going to keep going for Zeke. It's disgusting. It's gross. We all know that it's not pretty to put Ezekiel Elliott in your lineups, but the guy just scores touchdowns. He's basically Dallas's version of Damian Harris, so keep rolling with him.
Before we move on with the show, I'd like to take a moment to talk about Air Medcare Network. Now, in fantasy football, we do everything we possibly can to be prepared for any scenario, but sometimes the unexpected still happens. When it happens in our game, we can chalk it up to bad luck and move on to the next week. But when emergency strikes in real life, that's the scary stuff. And it's why I want to make sure you are fully prepared with Air Medcare Network. When medical emergencies inevitably pop up, Air Medcare Network gives members the absolute best possible air transport services to the nearest hospital with zero cost out of pocket. It's less than $100 a year to cover your entire family. And frankly, what wouldn't you pay for the peace of mind of knowing no matter what happens, you are mere minutes away from the best possible care? Whether you're an adventurous family always towing the line or an indoors family who prefers to take it easy, emergencies can and will find you. Be prepared with Air Medcare Network, who is currently offering our listeners a $50 gift card with your new membership. Just visit airmedcare.com/fantasypros and use offer code fantasypros for the peace of mind no one should live without. Let's go to the last game on the early slate, Lions at Jets. Deebo, I'll start with you.
What are we going to get out of Jared Goff this week is the big question for me with the Jets' pass defense, which has been fantastic. So over the last few games, they are 4th in success rate per dropback, 3rd in passing yards per game. Jared Goff is a quarterback that we have seen massive ceiling weeks from him. I mean, we've had multiple top 5 performances from him, especially when he's had weapons to throw the ball to. This is going to be a really good litmus test for this passing attack this week, and it's not like you can run on the Jets a ton either. So I think they are going to have to throw the ball. Jared Goff is going to have to turn in a good game here, but I'm curious how well he performs versus his pass defense. If he can't get it done, the Jets could walk away with a win here.
Who's your favorite skill position player this week for the Lions? Because they have so many options now.
I mean, obviously, it's I think the most insulated player because of just matchups and stuff is going to be Amon-Ra St. Brown, obviously. But outside of him, I think that we're going to see a good bit of volume for Jamal Williams. DeAndre Swift was put back on the cupboard last week, put back on the shelf. We only got one game of him getting heavy usage, and they went back to, it's just giving 30% of the snaps. And I think that's probably what's going to happen again here. So this could be one of those outlier games where we see Jamal Williams not just get his usual 15 carries. It could push higher towards the 20 range this week.
Mason, what are you looking at here?
Interesting spot for Mike White. Not a big fan of starting these quarterbacks that don't have any rushing upside. But I mean, the Detroit Lions have allowed the most points against quarterbacks so far this season in fantasy. What's very interesting, in my opinion, is this past week, obviously, we had the Detroit Lions favored by 2.5 points over Minnesota. They crushed. And now the Jets are favored depending on the sports book you're looking at. It's essentially a pick 'em game. The spread's 1 point. It's very interesting to see the combo of Detroit giving up a ton of points to opposing quarterbacks and the fact that Vegas is kind of on this game to be closer than at least I would have expected.
How comfortable would you be starting Mike White in a fantasy playoff matchup?
A super flex, very, very comfortable. One quarterback, probably not. I think Mike White's more so going to be for those teams that lost Kyler Murray, if I'm going to be honest.
I just want to mention here, normally we don't pull back the curtain, but we do record the show early and the Ravens quarterback situation has an update here. So since we talked about it sort of nebulous earlier, Lamar Jackson officially out for the game. Tyler Huntley, no injury designation. So he should be the starter on Saturday. Let's get into the Sunday late afternoon slate. We'll start with Cardinals at Broncos. Mason, what are you looking at?
Very interesting spot for Hollywood Brown. I know that Hopkins is going to draw the tougher matchup, blah, blah, blah. But the Denver Broncos have been phenomenal against opposing wide receivers so far this season. And on top of this, if you're going to be looking at what we've had with this Arizona Cardinals offense, it's a very interesting thing where all of a sudden they're using Robbie Anderson last week, where Hollywood Brown isn't getting the usual volume you would assume. Obviously, early in the season, before DeAndre Hopkins came back, before Hollywood Brown went down, Hollywood had the luxury of playing not only without DeAndre Hopkins, but also without Rondale Moore. He was kind of the only guy there, and he was drawing so much volume. That hasn't been the case since he's come back. The Denver Broncos have allowed the fewest points to opposing wide receivers. I didn't want to include DeAndre Hopkins as the most interesting guy to look for because you're starting DeAndre Hopkins regardless of what the matchup is. But with Colt McCoy in, hook 'em horns, and with this being a horrendous matchup and Hollywood not getting the volume, you'd assume it's a little bit of a tougher spot.
Yeah, I was going to ask how much you would drop Hollywood just now that Kyler is out, but I forgot that you're a Texas guy. So yeah. All in on Colt McCoy, I'm sure. D-Bro, what about you?
Well, first, before I get to the Broncos side of the ball, I am going to take the over for James Conner and the over-under challenge. The guy has been a workhorse. He's been getting elite volume. Pretty much you could sew him in for 95% of the snaps. So considering the matchup, checkdowns from Colt McCoy, the over is an easy play here. But on the Broncos side, it's Greg Dulcich. I've talked about this time and time again. It's Arizona. They cannot stop anything versus tight ends. They are giving up the most fantasy points per game, the highest catch rate, the most receiving yards per game to tight ends. So while Dulcich disappointed us all last week because I played him in a lot of DFS lineups and I was crying in my hands, I think he bounces back with a really solid game this week.
D-Bro, when was the last time that we did a Cardinals game and your matchup to watch wasn't the opposing tight end?
I mean, to stop me when it doesn't pay off. Like, Hunter Henry was close to getting into the end zone. Like, it keeps bearing fruit for us.
I'm not saying you're wrong. It's just like an automatic. You don't even need to think about it when picking your matchup for that game. Let's move to Patriots at Raiders. And D-Bro, I'll stick with you since you're talking about Hunter Henry again here.
Well, considering I just staying on the tight end position. But look, I think people out there need to hear this because tight end is a gross position. We have a passing attack for the Patriots that's banged up. Jacoby Myers is dealing with injury. Devontae Parker's got the concussion. You're looking for somebody to step forward. Oh, they have running back injuries too. I think Hunter Henry is going to be possibly the focal point of their passing attack this week because the Raiders are not good at covering tight ends. 26th in DVOA, they're 27th in catch rate, and 25th in fantasy points per game allowed to Hunter Henry, who over the last few weeks is top 10 in yards per route run at the tight end position.
Mason, what are you looking at in this matchup?
Talking about pumping my bags, my most drafted player, Jacobs. I obviously you're starting him, but it's hard to rank Josh Jacobs as the running back one overall as he's finished in that PPR format. I'm just praying that we get a top 10 finish because what I am so worried about is my two most drafted running backs, Jacobs, Kenneth Walker, lead us to the playoffs in every single league, then go up against the second toughest rush defense in the NFL at the New England Patriots, in the toughest rush defense in the NFL against the 49ers, and we get bounced first round. Like for every Josh Jacobs team that's in the playoffs, it's just a brutal matchup to draw, and I'm really hoping we can overcome it.
And technically, he's still listed as questionable, right? There's not really a doubt he's going to play.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that at all. If you look at any site that has player props, like right now, I don't know if we're allowed to say any names, but I know the site that I look at has 115 total yards for Josh Jacobs up.
Let's go to Titans at Chargers. Mason, I'll start with you this time.
Or we're going to go Keenan Allen versus Tennessee. I mean, with Justin Herbert, night and day difference when he has Keenan Allen and Mike Williams here. It's kind of funny that everybody was panicking on Justin Herbert halfway through the season when his wide receiver one, wide receiver two were Joshua Palmer and DeAndre Carter. And all of a sudden, the second he gets these guys back in on primetime, everybody's like, oh my gosh, I guess Justin Herbert's elite again. Of course, he's elite. Keenan Allen's getting all the volume in the world. Keenan Allen's drawing double-digit targets consistently. Start Keenan Allen. I mean, wide receiver one, if we go through and go to Fantasy Pros to check out, I mean, fantasy points allowed, the Titans have allowed the most points to opposing wide receivers so far this year. I think Keenan Allen's arguably a top 10 wide receiver in a full PPR format.
Are you high on Mike Williams too?
Yes, Mike Williams, I've never been as much of a fan of because with Mike Williams, more so a best ball option, extremely high average depth of target. I think he's the guy that's going to go through, create space underneath for Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler to soak up the volume. So maybe Mike Williams is one of those guys that's a little bit more valuable for the Chargers than he actually is for fantasy football purposes. So I've never been a big Mike Williams guy.
D-Bro, I call you out on every week, the low-hanging fruit. Has there ever been a more low-hanging fruit than Derrick Henry against the Chargers run defense?
They don't have anybody to throw the ball to. Like, I could bring up Chigakonkwo, but I don't feel good about starting him. So I'm not going to sit here and accentuate that to the listeners out there because Austin Hooper's still getting more targets, running more routes. It's a very much a high wire act that he is balancing right now, and it could fail. And that's not something I want people going to in the fantasy playoffs. But outside Treylon Burks, I'm not expecting to play in this game. So it's going to be Ryan Tannehill throwing to Hugh, the ghost of Robert Woods and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. No. I think it's just, look, it's going to be feed Derrick Henry. Let it be the Derrick Henry show. Derrick Henry, all Derrick Henry. 25 carries for Derrick Henry. Because the Chargers can't stop it. Even if they try to load up against Derrick Henry, good luck. I mean, they are 27th in rushing yards per game, 24th in EPA per rush. Derrick Henry is going to steamroll them.
Well, I think you should have picked former Maryland Terrapin great Chigakonkwo. But
of course
I understand why you went with Derrick Henry. Let's go to the last game in the late afternoon slate. Bengals at Buccaneers. Deeper, I'll start with you.
I have no faith in Tom Brady at this point. None. We talked about a number of streamable quarterbacks and my rankings over on the site. I mean, you could pull it up right now. Like I would be starting Mike White over Tom Brady. I would be starting Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, Ryan Tannehill, all these guys over Tom Brady. I have no faith in this passing attack. And the other part about this is even after losing Chidobe Awuzie, the Cincinnati Bengals pass defense has bounced back and been really good since week 10. 11th in success rate per dropback, 14th in EPA per dropback, and allowing the 13th fewest fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks. So Tom Brady is a QB2, and a QB2 you do not have to worry about starting this week. So he's going to have to sit here and have a decent game to try to keep up with Burrow and all those options on the Bengals side this week.
Bengals are starting to look real good, similar to the way they looked, you know, last December and January. And that defense is, I think, really high ceiling here. And so I don't think the Bucs are going to get like shut out like they did, you know, against the 49ers just last week. But I could see another really tough game for them. Mason, what are you looking at here?
Real quick side note. I know Brady's looked disgusting, and I'm not saying to start Brady, but can you guess where Brady is in passing yards this season?
Oh, he's top five, top three.
He's fourth in passing yards. Wow. It's hilarious. Yeah. But anyway,
it's all just volume, man. He's been so bad.
I know it's a very tough matchup going up against Tampa. At the same time, I know Samaje Perine's getting some involvement. But I just wanted to make sure that before we get any questions about it whatsoever, nobody doubt it. You play Joe Mixon. I understand that Samaje Perine's been great over the past month. But, I mean, if we go back to right before Joe Mixon's injury, the man scored five touchdowns. This is an elite offense for Cincinnati. Tampa's rush defense, while, yeah, it's good, it's honestly, in my opinion, maybe just a little bit overrated. I mean, if I head over to Fantasy Pros right now, Tampa's allowed, I mean, the 20th most points to the running back position this season. So it's not like Tampa's been shut down as they have been in years past, but obviously just because they were so good as a rush defense in 2021 and in 2020, people still have this sentiment that they're phenomenal now, which isn't necessarily the case.
Sunday Night Football, Giants at Commanders, another divisional matchup this week. Mason, what are you looking at here?
I'm looking at Barkley in that with Saquon Barkley this past week. I think we can kind of throw it out the window. Saquon Barkley done with the neck injury, was third for the Giants in snaps. But what I'm very interested with is the spread on this game has Washington as 4.5-point favorites. And obviously correlation does not equal causation. But if you're going to be looking at Saquon Barkley's fantasy points in games where the Giants win versus the games where the Giants lose, it's a night and day difference. If the Giants win the contest, like I said, correlation does not equal causation, but still the man's out there averaging over 25 fantasy points per game as an elite level running back. And it's a night and day difference from when the Giants have been struggling as of late with so many offensive line injuries, with their wide receiver depth being completely evaporated. And it's a tough matchup against Washington. It's more so a DFS call, but it's interesting to be looking at Saquon Barkley in this matchup. I think you still obviously are starting him if you're playing in a casual redraft format. Just want to see what the Giants can do after flaming out entirely over the past 2 months.
So this is one of the very rare scenarios where Washington, they just played in week 13. The Giants then played the Eagles in between. Yeah. Washington was on a bye. So this is back-to-back games for the Commanders against Saquon and the Giants. Does that weigh at all into how you're evaluating him this week, that he's going up at defense that has basically had 3 weeks to prepare for him?
Like I said, if I'm looking at game environments, I'm more so looking at those Las Vegas sportsbooks lines because I think that they know significantly more than I do. I think they know significantly more than almost anybody does. So obviously they are going to be taking that into account. And yeah, I think it is something you have to worry about. I think that's one of the reasons why they are favored by 4.5 points. And if we just go through and look at what the Giants did last time they played them, I mean, it was not great. The Giants haven't been great in general. The Giants this past week lost by what? I mean, if my math isn't perfect here, but it was over 20-something points the week prior against Washington. In overtime, Saquon Barkley gives you 63 rushing yards. I don't know. I think Barkley's more so a high-end RB2. And for fantasy football playoffs, when you were leaning on him to be that high-end RB1, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, we saw the tie last time these two teams went together. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that one of these teams will win this game. D-Bro, what are you looking at here?
Adventurous call, Ryan. Very adventurous call. I think that I agree with the Commanders being favored in this game. Their defense has played extremely well. And if they're going to create short fields and shut down the Giants offense, it's going to be more scoring opportunities for Brian Robinson. As well as you marry that with the fact that the Giants run defense has been abysmal. So since week 8, 25th in rushing success rate, they are the worst defense in explosive run rate allowed. Brad Robinson has been quietly awesome over the last few weeks. So his last 5 games, he's 7th in missed tackles forced. He has been a top 24 running back in 3 of his last 4 games, the Giants included in that. So Brian Robinson, we know that Gibson is still banged up a little bit. Brian Robinson could get 25 plus carries in this game because the Commanders want to run the ball and be one of the reasons that you may move on to the next round of the fantasy playoffs.
Robinson is currently RB21 in our expert consensus rankings. Is that too high, too low, or just right?
I've got him at RB20, and I've actually kind of like debated. I was waiting on some of the news with the next team that we're going to talk about. Like, how does Aaron Jones come out of the bye? And honestly, I think you can make a really good case for starting Brian Robinson over Joe Mixon this week, as crazy as that sounds. But this is a really good game. He is going to get a lot of volume. And I have no problem starting Brian Robinson as a high-end RB2.
You mentioned the next game. We'll get to it. Monday Night Football, Rams at Packers. Mason, starting with you.
Not telling you to start him, but I am very interested to see Cam Akers. I mean, with Cam Akers, it's a good matchup going up against the Packers, where right now, if we're looking at the only teams who allow more fantasy points to the running back position than the Green Bay Packers this season, the Chargers, Bears, Browns, Seahawks, Texans, like, pretty damn good matchup for Cam Akers. Back-to-back weeks with touchdowns. Kyren Williams not really getting too involved outside of just as that primary passing down running back. That's going to be the main issue with Cam Akers, is he hasn't been catching the football, and this offense isn't going to be great. I'm not going to be a big-time believer in Baker Mayfield. I think Akers can be appealing if you're playing in a non-PPR format and you need that running back too, maybe you had an injury elsewhere. But if you're playing in a full PPR shallowry, Jeff Lee, I don't want to start him, but I definitely am interested in him, maybe because we have him in one too many best ball leagues.
Are there any Rams that you are starting this week?
No, not at all. I mean, I was excited about Tyler Higbee once he had the cup injury, and I thought Stafford was still going to be there. But obviously, Higbee is just completely flamed out. I think Baker Mayfield's going to be. I know he was great this past week in that one drive, but I don't think it's going to be as good as people assume.
Yeah, I was going to ask, do you think there will be any point this season where we say, hey, maybe people should start Baker Mayfield if they need a quarterback?
0% chance.
Okay. D-Row, what are you looking at?
I love the Cam Akers call. I've actually got him inside my top 24 running backs for the week, so I think he's going to be a great play, especially if you're hurting a running back. But staying on the Packers side here, it's all things every week. Christian Watson, baby. He's just going to keep the train rolling. He's been crushing it since week 10. 23% target share. He's almost got a 50% air yard and end zone target share. I know we keep waiting on him. Okay, it's going to stop at some time, right? Every single year, we keep saying that about rookie wide receivers. We have the Amon-Ra St. Browns of the world. We have Ja'Marr Chase when he was on his run. Rookie wide receivers, once they hit the ground running, sometimes that gravy train just does not stop. And I don't think it stops this week versus the Rams, who nobody should worry about Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey has been one of the worst cornerbacks in the league. He has been torched all year. If you were to take the name away and put his numbers up on a billboard, people would be like, why is that guy not just cut to a practice squad somewhere? That's how bad he's been. The Rams have allowed the second most fantasy points per game to perimeter wide receivers. Christian Watson is going to eviscerate them.
The thing about cornerbacks is when they lose it, they just lose it immediately and it's gone. He's obviously an incredible athlete. Like, I'm not saying he can't get it back next year, but yeah, like, it is one of those positions where once you realize a guy is no longer what he used to be, you need to adjust your thinking really quickly because he's just not that threat anymore. On Watson, I mean, in those last four games, obviously the bye last week, but in the four games he's played since week 10, he's finished 2nd, 5th, 8th, and 6th. He has had either 100 yards or multiple touchdowns or both in every one of those games. How aggressively are you ranking him rest of season? Do you think he's a fantasy playoff winner?
Oh, I think that, yes, I've talked about it since the beginning of the season. I said he was that dude in prospect season. Everybody's like, ew, the hype. Oh, the small school. Oh, he's raw. And I'm like, all right, fine. He's making everybody eat those words right now. So, yes, I'm starting him confidently. Like, you need to get him in your lineups. Like, wide receiver 2. I'd be starting him over a number of guys, including Mike Evans.
And if you make it to the fantasy championship game week 17, he gets the tasty Vikings pass defense. Ooh. So that is something to look forward to if you can get that far. Let's open up the mailbag here for one question to end the show. It's a good time to remind the listeners, if they want even more access to our analysts, be sure to join us on Discord at fantasypros.com/chat. A premium subscription will get listeners full access to our analysts through AMAs, stages, and more.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
Our question, who is your top quarterback to replace Kyler Murray? Not for this week, but for weeks 16 and 17. D-Bro?
I mean, right now you're looking at so many different streaming options for the fantasy playoffs. For weeks 16 and 17, I mean, I think like right now if Mike White is somehow out there, he gets the Jacksonville Jaguars in week 16, you can look to him as well as we're looking at just advantageous I can't talk right now. We're looking for good matchups, okay? I'm going to go down a rabbit hole here, and I know it's gross, and this is not for the most deepest of leagues, but also week 16, if you are hurting in Dynasty League formats, 14-teamers, the psycho leagues out there, where we're like, who are we going to play this week? If he still has the starting job, Davis Mills has the Tennessee Titans in week 16. So as gross as that sounds, and I know we've seen a little bit of Jeff Driscoll, that's a deeper pull. As well as in week 17, while I am not much on the Desmond Ridder train this week going up against the Saints, he gets the Arizona Cardinals in week 17. So if we're going deep here, that's some deeper names that I think we could look to.
Mason, does anybody stand out to you for quarterbacks that could be good pickups for the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, I would just say Desmond Ridder. I don't love Desmond Ridder, but if he's going to have any rushing upside, I mean, if he can get there with 30, 40 rushing yards a game, then maybe he can help you out. But like Derek was saying, I mean, it's hard to get excited about any of these names. I mean, if you're playing in a shallower format, maybe a 10-team league, if you can go get Geno Smith week 16 going up against KC, going to have to throw the ball, I think that would be exciting. But I'm assuming Geno Smith is rostered in your league.
One more guy, Ryan. If people are hurting in case the Packers get knocked out of playoff contention, I would seriously consider, we talked about Christian Watson, I would seriously consider stashing Jordan Love for week 17.
Let me ask you this really quick before we wrap up. Let's look into our crystal ball, and I'm guaranteeing you Jordan Love is starting week 17. Where are you ranking him against the Vikings?
He's going to be a top 14, 15 quarterback because the upside is massive. The Vikings can't stop anything through the air.
Let's wrap it up there, fellas. Thank you both for another awesome episode. Everybody listening, please remember to check out our Christian Watson giveaway and also the great opportunities we mentioned with Manscaped and Air Medcare Network. But most of all, thank you, the fans, for listening. For Mason and Debro, I'm Ryan Wormley. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.